Well, there's some tasty trance blues courtesy of Otis Taylor from his newest CD, Fantasizing About Being Black. That was a tune, Jump Jelly Belly. Was he talking about me or Santa Claus? Well, Otis comes to the Temporary a week from tomorrow night to help them celebrate their grand opening. And you can get more information at taca.org. That's TACAW.org. Hello, Indigenous Earthlings. Here we are again, seven revolutions later, balancing into another. Express yourself. I'm Luke Nessler. Well, there's a movement afoot to create a new park along the Colorado River near Newcastle. The vision includes two special events per year, and here to tell us about it is one of the principals of the Peach Valley River Park, Jason Siegel. Welcome, Jason.
Well, thank you, Luke. Pleasure to be here.
Pleasure to have you. This is kind of exciting. Tell me what the vision is here.
Well, vision was, started when myself was looking for an area to recreate, much like I did here at the confluence of the Fork and the Crystal for a little while. Just didn't have a lot of room to make things go on, and started looking down valley in the downturn for a place to store some boats and RVs and recreate. And this parcel kind of jumped out at us that maybe we shouldn't build on it. Maybe it could be a park. And so in 2014, we started kind of a grassroots movement with some other locals, Richard Camp, Joe Lang, Eric Fullerton, who's now in Alaska, but is a part of the team, and Adam Beal. We kind of brought our resources together, and we started pitching it to Colorado Parks for GoCo funds, AVLT for easements, discretionary funds there. So it's been a mix of public and private efforts to bring essentially the first riverbank in between Newcastle and Rifle public. And that is this would act as the only public river access between Newcastle and Rifle.
So the idea is for your group to purchase the property and then convey it in a conservation easement? Is that?
You know, there's no right way to go about it. We do know that it's going to take private funding to do the initial purchase. Who pays back and how it's paid back to the guy who's writing the first check will be a journey. I think that will be the fun part. Just like a nonprofit, you're going out and you're constantly looking for grants for this and grants for that. This property was identified as an ideal place for a boat ramp in between Newcastle and Silt. The water to our property from Newcastle has some rapids. It's fun. But then it slows down severely from there to Silt. So Brian Gray with CPW, he's been the Northwest director, and he kind of looks over our lands here as really I'm not speaking for him, but he likes the idea of adding a boat ramp in this area. And if it takes something like this to do it, then he's willing to come in with funds afterwards and help fund a boat ramp. Mm-hmm. So it's a public-private process, we'll call it.
Kind of remarkable. It's the only private parcel that could go public between Newcastle and Rifle.
That's 16 miles, Luke.
16 miles.
And you know, it's right up against I-70. It's not a pristine spot at the base of Sopris where you hear the birds chirp. You hear the 18-wheelers chirp, but the fishing's good, you know? And
so now where exactly is it? I noticed that it's equidistant between Newcastle and Silt. It's on the north side of the river, but it's between the highway and the river. Is that right?
It is. The north side, the highway... When you come out of Newcastle, the Hogback really opens up there, and it becomes extremely sunny. Mm-hmm. Most everybody knows Osage Gardens, those large greenhouses that are in between the highway and the river. We're about five parcels upstream, so I'm calling it between a quarter and a half mile. There's a large parcel with a gentleman named Bill Bullock's name on it. He's been working with us. First, I'd also like to thank the owners of the property themselves. Today, we would not be here if Tom and Naomi Laidlaw, the Laidlaw family, would not allow us the time to research how to fund the project. Mm-hmm. We've been working on it for 3 years. So again, I want to acknowledge those guys as conservation-minded owners willing to step aside and see if they can gain a higher and better value for making a park. So
part of the plan here is to produce a revenue stream from the property in the way of a couple of events that you'd like to schedule per year. Tell me more about that.
Yeah. You know, from the onset of the project, we've looked at every imaginable way to fund it. Attainable housing up right along the highway with 10x10 workspaces for people, artisans, carpenters. We looked at an RV park, but we look at the idea that what if we didn't build anything here? It is rural. This is directly in between the two towns. What if this property was used for a conservation credit somewhere else? What if it was just all easements? So there's a lot of ways, but the event in the spring and the fall, Garfield County lacks flat event space. We have our rodeo grounds and we have Two Rivers Park and Saren Park. And those are not what you would call places that a Jeep Jamboree or a Boy Scouts or the kind of entities that we would like to see come to Garfield County can occupy. There's just not enough room. Mm. So a part of that was the Glenwood Springs Chamber. Marianne and Angie really liked the idea of having another flat venue that RVs and people, maybe the Colorado 500, maybe it be the bicycle race. Garfield County could host that with a space like this.
But you're also thinking of a music festival. Is that correct?
Correct. I would think any event space looks to music to pay the bills.
Uh-huh.
The theater and the acting and other things, community events that go along, work. But really our job is to make the space ready for an event. Although we have a person that's in the event world on our program, we are looking to build the infrastructure so a company could lease it from us. It might be the Glenwood Springs Chamber. It might be a Rise Festival in Fort Collins wanting to do a Western Slope. I don't know what that is, but our job really is not going to be to produce any music. I really think our job, somebody's got to get the site ready and somebody else does production.
I see.
Or events.
I see. So it's not strictly limited to a music festival.
Absolutely not. It is the administrative view that we're going under is for gathering of 3,000 people over the course of a weekend. We had initially applied for back-to-back weekends. A lot of areas do it that way. They do community events one weekend and then sometimes pay events the next. You're going to set a stage up. You might as well set it up for two weekends versus one. But Memorial Day this upcoming year is what we are penciled in for. It is somewhat open. You know, it might be the weekend before Memorial Day. We're not, but I think Memorial Day right now is looking like we're going to try to open it up for lessors or potential people that would like to put an event on the river. There's boat ramps all over the place. There's ability to really make a special event out of it with the river there.
Well, you mentioned you started in 2014. Is that what you said?
So
I took a cursory look at that PDF that included all the documentation and all the hoops that you've had to jump through to make this a reality. You've garnered a lot of support from the neighbors and from the business community. Tell me a little about that.
Well, you know, you gain support when things like this go on, but you also get comments that are trying to make the park a better place. I think businesses have enjoyed it. We have an open house coming this Thursday right on Main Street in Newcastle. But really we're now getting into needing to document that you're for or against or what your comments would be for it. We have one neighbor that is directly up against the park, which our job is to work with them to make this a reality. It's not to say that we're right, you're wrong. We've moved some things. We've decided to change a little layout. Mm-hmm. We've made a better emergency loop. But the support's it's there in some entities, and then other entities feel that it might not be. So we look for the community to come out and at least voice their support or comments or things that they could see better this Thursday in Newcastle. And you can always reach out to us at peachvalleyriverpark@gmail.com or Peach Valley River Park on Facebook has a little basic idea of what we're doing. But, you know, 355 days of a park in 10 days, 6 to 10 days a year of setup and breakdown of shoulder season events. Seems like maybe a worthwhile try for Garfield County.
Well, in addition to the open house you mentioned in Newcastle, you have a public hearing in front of the commissioners coming up soon, too.
Yeah, believe it or not, it's only in about 10 days now. We will be into our thumbs up or thumbs down from the Garfield County commissioners based off of the feedback from the community. We just hope that the feedback or the opportunities given to our group and the owners of the property, again, it's not, we don't own it right now. So any sort of, hiccup here or there, it not only affects our group, but it really affects the owners themselves who have been working with us.
Right. Is this a final approval meeting or is
it would be, yeah,
it would be
some things, that under the nature that we're doing would never come to a vote. This was deemed to be something that the community surrounding communities should weigh in on, an event at 3,000, done correctly, it could be 5,000 next year and you wouldn't skip a beat. Mm-hmm. I think Mountain Fair is about 5,000 to 6,000 people a day on 2 acres, 3 acres there in the park.
How many acres is this property?
This is 78 acres.
70. That's yeah. pretty big, isn't it?
It's big. Huh. It's a half a mile square almost.
Wow.
Half a mile by quarter mile. Let's call it that way.
Huh.
So I believe a mile square is going to run you closer to, you know, 200 acres. But 78 acres, half a mile in between, it would represent about, I think it's 8% of the stretch between Newcastle and Rifle become public with one purchase.
That's impressive.
It would go from 0 to 8. That's the key.
Uh-huh.
If there was already 10% or 15, then those with an argument of there's enough public lands, they might have an argument. But we're currently at 0, Luke.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Interesting yeah. thought. So coming up Thursday in Newcastle, where was that and what time on Thursday?
The Newcastle Community Center, which is directly across from Town Hall and the library. It'll be from 4 to 7. We'll be there in Newcastle a bit earlier, kind of on the streets and trying to get a little feedback from businesses. So you might see us there a little earlier, but 4 to 7, come learn more. And then if you have anything or you'd like to add, write to the county commissioners, that'll be December 18th, which is a Monday. The meeting begins at 1 o'clock. I'm not quite sure what time they are on the agenda.
Is it too late for public comment?
Absolutely not.
Oh, good.
Apparently we had put a deadline today. But if you'd like to get a small PowerPoint from me, peachvalleyriverpark@gmail.com, I'll send you the abridged version, Luke. I won't send them the 70-page version that I went through. But I'll send you a abridged version, and you can make a decision and send something in. I do believe we have till about Monday to formally submit them. But
I see.
But yeah.
Okay, and then the meeting Monday the 18th at the Garfield County Courthouse, I'm assuming.
Correct. Yeah. Downstairs.
What time is that?
1 o'clock it starts, but you know, I think it's a 2 or 3 hour meeting. I'm not quite sure what the agenda looks like yet. It'll probably come out middle of next week, but come join the fishing community. Garfield County, the Glenwood Springs Chamber has been one of our best supporters and also the fishing community. Uh-huh. Anytime you can add some boat ramps for the fishermen or spot to wet a line with a kid, it's a good thing.
That is a good thing. Jason Siegel, thanks for joining Express Yourself today.
Thank you, Luke. And
stay with me. More to come here on today's Express Yourself.
Any set, any numerator value. Looking for the mean, but you can't remember how to calculate the average and determine when you're in the range. Problem occur when the differences are greater. Make a few mistakes and you're paying for it later. Now and then you gotta go back and rearrange. We gotta stand the deviation without no reconciliation. We got too much variation. Too little communication. When you were young, you could see the whole equation. Factor everything without a bit of hesitation. Maybe you can learn again the median and the mode. But now that you're older and your mind is less receiving, choices are multiple and some of them deceiving. Now and then it seems like you were never gonna crack the code. We got standard deviation without no reconciliation. We got too much variation and too little communication. podcast and the TVS show. Without no reconciliation, we got too much variation and too little communication. We got standard TVS show. Without no reconciliation, we got too much variation and too little communication.
Whitewater Ramble with a tune from their 2013 CD Roots and Groove, displaying their multi-genre inclinations there. Whitewater Ramble returns to the Belly Up next Thursday, December 14th. Soul Theater brings an iconic holiday show to the Third Street Center next weekend. A Christmas Story is a 1983 movie that was set in the 1940s and tells the story of a boy with a fervent desire to receive an air rifle from Santa Claus. With many unforgettable plot twists, the film has insinuated itself into popular culture, much like It's a Wonderful Life has. It helps, no doubt, that the TNT network plays the movie continuously over 24 hours every Christmas Eve. But Soul Theater brings the production to town, starring the kids of our community, your friends and neighbors. That's a winning combination. I spoke yesterday with two of its young stars, as well as the director and producer. Well, joining me now are cast and director and producer of Soul Theater's holiday play, A Christmas Story. Kai Holcomb joins us. Hi, Kai.
Hi.
Hi.
And Kate Kelleher is here, too. Hi, Kate.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Very well, thanks. Danny Grace Kopf, the director of the show, is here. Hi,
Guilty
Danny.
Guilty as charged.
And Jennifer Johnson is here, the prop master and producer.
Hi, Luke. Thanks for having us back.
So good to have you back. Boy, you're tackling a very well-known play this time around.
Absolutely. It's actually my favorite holiday movie, so.
What makes it that?
It's just a classic.
Isn't
and
it?
And there are just so many great one-liners, and it's just that nostalgic, awesome, wholesome love fest of a movie that I was so excited to get to do. I'm so glad Jennifer gave me the chance to direct this one.
It's become iconic. I wonder if that might be because they run it for 24 hours straight every Christmas Eve.
I think so. I think they started that about 5-10 years ago, something
yeah,
like
at least that.
Yeah, there's so many great scenes in that. And we'll talk about some of those coming up. Now, is this the musical version? No, it's adapted for the stage.
Yeah, we're actually basically doing the movie script. We got a couple other scripts. We listened to the musical version, and we just kind of felt like we did with Elf last year, that people coming to see this are going to want to see the iconic scenes. They're not going to want to see something new and different. So we're staying pretty true to the movie.
So the musical strayed pretty far from the story?
From what we could tell, it just added things that we didn't really feel were necessary.
Uh-huh. Wow.
Yeah, one of the things that I love so much about A Christmas Story is the simplicity of the story and the simplicity of the time period it happened during. And when you bring it to Broadway, when you make it a big musical, it makes it a much more showier piece. And so we like the nostalgic, iconic hominess of the original show, and it just loses something in translation when you like throw in musical numbers. And I love musicals, but I also like to really honor what people are familiar with. So,
well, you talked about props earlier, Jennifer, and of course there's a very famous prop in this one, the leg lamp. Do you actually have a leg lamp?
We actually have a leg lamp. I have to give a shout out to Nikki Cannon, who loaned us her leg lamp. They had one at their that I've driven by on my way to the Third Street Center. I drive by it every Christmas, and so I knew this family had one. So I called her, and I'm like, we kind of need one. And she said, can I be in the program? Absolutely. There's going to be a thank you in the program.
Nice. Now, is it a tall one or a short one?
Oh, yeah.
It's as tall as it's a full size like the movie.
It is very true to what you would expect. It's about 4 feet tall in pristine condition. I mean, it is everything that anybody would want to look at.
Now, but you're not going to break it like it broke in the movie.
No, we have a stunt leg lamp for that, which is actually oddly made out of an arm.
Yes,
that's from a mannequin.
Oh, that's interesting.
That's what blackouts are for.
Yeah.
Yeah. All
little
right.
Bait and switch.
Dirty little secrets of A Christmas Story. Wow. How about that? Well, there's another iconic scene, and that is the tongue getting stuck on the flagpole. How do you do that in a warm theater?
With a really great young actress named Emma Charters, who is playing Flick. And our tech director has fashioned a pole, and she's been rehearsing with, you know, trying to just stay stuck. So we're not actually going to freeze her tongue to the pole.
No. No, not a method moment.
No.
Not a method. Acting. That's what it is.
Wow. So I'm wondering, you know, I it's funny because I was researching it earlier today, and I actually went like this, put my tongue on my water bottle, and then thought this hawk.
Yeah.
And I just wonder how you teach an actor how to talk without their tongue.
You know, Emma just is one of those actors that goes for every moment. And so she has been game for this since auditions, and just she's willing to try different things to see what works. And she's just a champ about it.
Huh.
She's great.
Did you watch the movie with the cast?
Not yet.
Are you going to?
I've thought about it. I don't know if we have time before we open, but I have thought about it. I've watched it a lot.
Sure. Well, I can tell just from your eye that there's some method to that madness. Do you want to keep them fresh without being polluted by the movie? What's your thinking?
Well, I'd say about 90% of the cast has seen it. And when we were getting ready for auditions, we actually encouraged them to watch it. We said, you know, I don't normally do that with plays. Or especially ones that are based off of movies, I don't usually say, yeah, go and watch this.
Uh-huh.
But with this one, because we want to stay so true to the original, mm-hmm. I had no problem with saying, yeah, go and watch it. It's fine. But then they are all bringing their own twist to it, too. They're not trying to imitate. They're not trying to copy. They're all doing their own take on these roles, and it's really great.
And, of course, there's the pink bunny suit. Does somebody actually get to wear a pink bunny suit on the stage?
Yeah.
Is that you, Kate? No, you're the mother, aren't you?
Yeah.
We'll talk about that in a minute.
Yeah, it's Ralphie who gets to wear that. And our costume designer, Jenny Boltman, is just incredible. She has put together a really incredible 40s-style costume design for this one, including the pink bunny suit.
Huh. Well, in the movie, Kate, the mother makes Ralphie wear that pink bunny suit and just gushes all over him. Is that what happens with you, too? You make Ralphie wear that bunny suit?
Yes, I do.
That's mean. So, Kate, you are the mother. She had a lot to do in that play, didn't she?
Yeah, she did.
Yeah, and the father, too. But tell me about your character and what it is that you're doing on the stage.
Well, I get to, like, judge Ralphie and, like, make him do things. And it's pretty fun because I got this huge part. And I just, like, stepped up. And it's kind of, like, scary, but I'm trying my best to do.
Uh-huh. So is it hard to learn all those lines?
Kind of.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah? Have you got them memorized already?
Some of it. I have a little trouble in one scene, but everything else is pretty good.
Oh, that's good. Huh. Well, you have a week left to do that, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, that must be the hardest part. Is it the hardest part, learning all those lines?
Yeah, pretty much.
Huh. So the mother, as I recall, now you said it was, I know that the movie came out in 1983. But it was set in like the 40s or the 50s.
1940, December of 1940, which ironically is also the exact time period that our last show was set, Musical Comedy Murders of 1940. It's set in the exact same time. So we didn't really realize that until the end of that show. We thought, oh, wow, we're doing two shows in the exact same time period, yeah, the same month of the same year.
I think Ginny pointed that out to us, actually, our costume designer, because she was all excited about it because it was the same time frame in terms of pulling costumes and finding pieces. But it was totally, that was not at all planned. Mm-mm. That was just a coincidence.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just different areas of the country. That one was upstate New York. This one is in Homan, Indiana. So very Midwest.
Yeah, very Midwest. But, you know, that's what makes it endearing. Right? Yes. Does it seem like an endearing play to you, Kate?
Kind of.
Kind of?
Kind of.
Not so much?
Not so much.
Well, 40s was a long time ago, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, do you think that you could have been a mother in the 1940s?
No.
No? You like it now, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what do you like about your character?
Well, she's just pretty cool, and I just seen The Christmas Story a lot, and when I went to Seoul to do my audition, I really wanted the part of the mother, and so I got it, and it's like, it's very challenging, but it's really fun.
What makes it challenging?
Well, there's a lot of lines. She's just really awesome, and she's, I just love the part.
Uh-huh. Is she a lot like you?
No. No, not really.
Because that can be challenging when you're playing someone who's not a lot like you.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about the father? Or actually, he's not the father. He's the old man.
The old man.
Right?
Yeah. And we do actually know his name. It's Frank Parker. We never get to know the mother's name. But
now that's interesting.
Yeah.
Something Freudian going on there.
I don't know. And it's, yeah, he is referred to as the old man throughout the whole show. That's what he is in the script and everything.
And I discovered that in the original movie, Jack Nicholson wanted to play that role.
I just read that the other day, too.
And but he asked too much money, so Darren McGavin. And, you know, I can't imagine that movie without Darren McGavin.
Or with Jack Nicholson.
Yeah, exactly.
It would have been a horror movie. It would have been a lot more like The Shining.
Darker. Yeah. Who plays the father, Kate?
Xander
Yates.
Oh, okay. So do you have a real chemistry with him?
Yeah, he goes to the same school as me.
But in the movie, the mother and the father are often at loggerheads, aren't they? I mean, it's like the old man will do something and the mother will just sort of roll her head. Like the mother didn't want the table lamp. I mean, the leg lamp, right?
No, not at all.
She hated the leg lamp, didn't she?
Yeah.
So you get to tell that guy, no leg lamp in this living room.
Yeah.
You do?
Well, I kind of like purposely make it like, get destroyed and everything.
Oh, so you have decided that you did it on purpose. I let them decide whether it was going to be an on-purpose knockover or whether it truly was an accident. Uh-huh. So that's... It's fun to figure out. But yeah, she's doing a great job at the embarrassment. And there are lines in there that the narrator says about the epic battle or the epic struggle for the leg lamp. And, you know, the father wants to leave it on when they leave the house. And she goes over to turn it off to save electricity.
Uh-huh.
And she and Xander are doing a really great job playing off each other. And even as young as they are, the sarcasm is on point.
Wow. You know, I'll bet, I can just imagine somebody that, you know, isn't normally sarcastic, like a kid, being good at it because they're so fresh. It's so new.
Well, Kate's pretty sarcastic sometimes.
Really? Really?
Yeah, she's a Kelleher.
She doesn't.
The sass was there already.
Well, one of the other iconic scenes in the movie is, well, first of all, we should say that the old man has a running feud with the dogs next door, right? And in the movie, those dogs break in and eat the Christmas turkey, don't they, Kai?
Yep.
And you're one of the dogs, aren't you?
Yep.
Huh. That must be fun.
Yeah, it's pretty fun.
Do you get to, now when you play a dog, do you get down on all fours or do you do it? How do you do that?
Well, when I'm sitting, I get down on like, I'm still standing, but I'm on my toes, squatting down. And then when I go up and bark on him, I'm standing up.
Oh, okay. So how many dogs are there?
Four.
Four dogs. Wow. And you actually eat a turkey. Well.
Yeah.
You pretend.
You get to rough one apart.
Nice. Now, the dog is not the only thing that you play in this, is it? Tell me about your other characters.
Well, I'm this guy named Billy. He sits on Santa's lap and pees. In the Santa scene. And there's this other guy. I'm a bandit, and I'm a policeman.
Wow.
And you have another role. I had forgotten about Billy. You get to help with the tree salesman.
Oh, yeah. I'm a tree salesman assistant.
Wow. That's a pretty wide range of actorly endeavor.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to imagine you peeing on somebody's lap.
That's acting.
That's acting.
Well, Kai's another one of these actors who just jumps in. There's never been a time in any one of these rehearsals that I've had to say, Kai, come on, more, try more. He gets up there and instantly he's a dog, or he's committed to the character, and he's always in character, whatever he's doing. And it's really fun as a director to see.
Yeah. Well, yeah, in any actor, that would be fun to see. Mm-hmm. Are you having fun with this, Kai?
Yeah, a lot.
Is this the first time you've done it?
No, it's my second.
Second? What was your first one?
The Jungle Book.
Ooh, who did you play in The Jungle Book?
I was a monkey and an elephant.
Mm-hmm. And jungle creature in general.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What do you like about being on stage and performing?
I don't know. I like it.
What do you like about it?
I don't know. I just like being on stage.
Cool.
Is it fun to be silly?
Yeah.
It's sort of fun to pretend to be somebody other than who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll bet that's sort of empowering, too.
Yep.
Huh. What about you, Kate? What do you like about being an actor?
Same as Kai, just being up on stage. Just Seoul is a place where I can, like, kind of just relax and just have fun and, like, don't worry about who I am. Just having fun and all of that. And, yeah.
That's a great answer. I love that.
We feel the same way.
Yeah, I know you do. I've had you in many times, and every time I've come away impressed with, you know, the kids that are involved and their attitudes about what they're doing and everything. It's just, it's great. It's a great thing you do over there.
Thanks.
I forget how it ends, and I couldn't find a clip. I don't know if that's a spoiler. Maybe we shouldn't talk about how it ends. What do you think?
Well, it ends. I mean, there's no big, giant, you know, closing number or anything, but they end up having to go out for Christmas dinner because of what happens to the turkey, and so they end up in a restaurant, and that's
okay.
The
now
scene.
I did see a clip of that. Yeah. What happened in the restaurant? So yeah. You get to actually do that on stage.
We're not doing the full. It's not really a Chinese restaurant, but we are having a Chinese duck that may or may not get its head cut off. And Kate's doing a really beautiful job in that scene because all she has to do is really laugh and kind of be appalled at the fact that they're eating orange duck for Christmas instead of turkey.
Yeah.
But it ends on a really high note. They all are just laughing and giddy, and it's really cute.
Huh. Yeah. Wow. So let's see. It starts a week from
tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're actually doing two school matinees on Thursday and Friday of next week, the 14th and 15th. And then opening night is Friday night the 15th, and we have performances that night at 7, Saturday the 16th at 7, and Sunday the 17th at 2 p.m.
Where?
At the 3rd Street Center.
3rd Street Center. Mm-hmm. Okay, in the gym.
In the gym.
All right. Great. Well, I know that you guys pack them in just about every production.
Yeah, we've actually already started selling a lot of tickets to this one. Lots of pre-sales for this one, so I would recommend getting tickets early.
Okay.
We have sold out of our Christmas performances before and have had to turn people away. So we recommend getting tickets early, and you can do that at soultheatercompany.org/tickets. And if you want to take your chances and get them at the door, you can maybe do that too.
Maybe.
What do you think accounts for the pre-sales? Just the show. Just
people who, are getting well that, and people are getting more and more used to the fact that they can buy the tickets online.
Oh, okay.
It hasn't. It's just been something we've offered in the last. Well, actually, I think it's about 3 years now. But the more we advertise it, it's just easier to do just go online and make sure that you have seats available and make sure that you get in. So we went from it used to be about 10% of our ticket sales were online to over 50% of our ticket sales are online now. So. And it's growing with every show.
Huh.
So we really encourage people to do that. And then we just have you check in at will call. Takes less time at the door. You get to get in and get your seat faster.
You don't have to carry cash.
You don't have to carry cash. So.
Although we take credit cards at the door now, too.
We do.
Wow. Fact. Upgrades.
Yeah. So.
Huh. How many people can fit in there for a show?
About 200.
That's pretty good.
Yes.
That's pretty good. Well, you sort of have a built-in audience between parents and grandparents.
We do.
Pretty much.
We do.
Yeah.
And that I think that's been the other kind of amazing thing over the course of just the last couple of years is word of mouth has been that it's the shows are entertaining even if you don't have a kid involved in the show. So we have a lot of audience members that are coming to see shows just because they've heard they're entertaining for adults as well as kids.
Yeah.
And that's something we really pride ourselves on is that the shows are just charming and funny and thoughtful and all around entertaining.
Well, Christmas Story is uber entertaining.
It really is.
I imagine you guys are going to have a lot of fun with that one.
Yeah. We already are.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can tell. I can tell. Well, Kai Holcomb, thanks for joining us today.
You're welcome.
And Kate Kelleher.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I'm glad you came in. Danny Grace Kopf.
Thank you so much for having us back.
You bet. And Jennifer Johnson.
Thank you, Luke.
Good luck to you. Once again, you can get tickets and information at soultheatercompany.org. And that's S-O-L and theater spelled like an Englishman. That's R-E instead of E-R. soultheatercompany.org. All right, let's mention a few things happening around the valley. The Mountain Madrigals. Tis the season. The Mountain Madrigals announced their holiday concerts for the season. The next one is tonight at 7:30. All concerts are free. Donations are accepted. And babysitting is provided. All concerts are at the First United Methodist Church at 9th and Cooper in Glenwood Springs. For more information, find Mountain Madrigal Singers on Facebook. And the Roaring Fork Youth Orchestra will perform a family Christmas concert in the community room tonight in 45 minutes at 5:30. It's a joyous hour of music performed by budding young musicians of our valley. Singing along is encouraged. Also, join Carbondale Arts at the Launchpad tonight from 6 to 8 for an insightful and engaging slide presentation of artwork from the Anderson Ranch Arts Center's Fall Artists in Residence program, Artists. The public is invited afterward to mingle with the artists and ask questions or to browse the Deck the Walls holiday show. More information at 963-1680. Also, the Marble Community Church invites you up to Marble to a bake sale, gift basket drawing, and chili contest. Well, not a contest, but you can chow down on some chili. That's this Sunday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Marble Community Church. And last but not least, it's the last weekend for Sopus Theater Company's production of Uncommon Women and Others. Three performances tonight, tomorrow night at 7 p.m., and a Sunday matinee at 2. And you heard the lovely ladies starring in that production last week on Express Yourself. And I think that's going to be a really entertaining show. You can get tickets and information at 947-8177. Well, a week from tonight, acclaimed Twin Cities hip-hop duo Atmosphere brings their current tour to the Belly Up. Let's listen here to a tune from their 2016 CD, Fishing Blues. Here is Ringo.
Still drunk from last night, I woke up in a lawn chair. I feel faint like an old flashlight. I don't remember how I got there. Waiting at the train stop, hoping that the rain stopped. The pain throbs at the front of the skull. I should have took the day off, looking for a payoff. The brainwash is insufferable. I'm on purpose, coffee in a thermos. Squint like Clint, trying to spot me in the cursive. Missing persons, lost in your costumes. Blood moon and a boombox full of volume. If I had the authority, I would probably make everybody throw their hands in the sky. And everything I said in this song would be classified. And all of y'all would be captured alive. I might have showed up when the party start. I might have got high with your bodyguard. I might have passed out at the airport bar. Everybody wanna see a falling star. I might have thrown up in a rental car. I might have woke up in a reservoir. I might have got robbed at Mardi Gras. Everybody wanna see a falling star. 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 Once upon a time in the next few days, I gotta wake up and get out of the shade. I might put on a beat down pair of chucks, my old swimming trunks, and a mirror says nothing in my earbuds. Just me and my beer gut, I absorb it before I get deported back to orbit. Over the winter, I remain indoors. I want the summer in my city to feel like a rainforest. And you know we should skinny dip in the middle of the Mississippi. Do a couple of spins and shit. Synchronicity flips. A 360 finish, Twin Cities. And I don't care about what y'all think. Dressed up like a cop, stuck up the bank. The police came in some Russian tanks. And I'm in jail with nothing to drink. I might have showed up when the party start. I might have got high with your bodyguard. I might have passed out at the airport bar. Everybody wanna see a falling star. I might have thrown up in a rental car. I might have woke up in a reservoir. I might have got robbed at Mardi Gras. Everybody wanna see a falling star. 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 Everybody wanna see a falling star.
I want a snack machine on the party bus. Your flag is green, in God we trust. You were born in sin, we were born in debt. I guess this is about as feel good as it gets. I want Wonder Bread wrapped in rubber bands. It's not too much to understand. I wanna color the world, but only got one crayon. Reach for the sky, try to touch my hand. I might have showed up when the party start. I might have got high with your bodyguard. I might have passed out at the airport bar. Everybody wanna see a falling star. I might have thrown up in a rental car. I might have woke up in a reservoir. I might have got robbed at Mardi Gras. Everybody wanna see a falling star.
Everybody wanna see a falling star. Everybody wanna see a falling star. Everybody wanna see a falling star. Everybody wanna see a falling star. Everybody wanna see a falling star. Everybody wanna see a falling star. Everybody wanna see a falling star. Everybody wanna see a falling star.
All they want is Wonder Bread. That's Atmosphere playing a week from tonight up at the Belly Up. Well, we're winding down today's Express Yourself. Thank you for tuning in. The infamous String Dusters ring in the new year in just 3 short weeks with a show at the Wheeler Opera House. Information at wheeleroperahouse.com. Tickets at aspenshowtix.com. Here's a song from their performance at the 2012 Mountain Fair called High on a Mountain. Let's take it out. Let's take the show out with that. Thank you for tuning in. Stay tuned for the news. And please remember to go forward in all directions. And go out there and express yourself.
Hey, tomorrow we got the day off and we're hanging out here. Thank you. And I'm not sure what we're going to get into, but I think we're going to get into something. Maybe go climb a mountain like Mount Sopris or something like that. I hear it's not too far, 12 miles. And if that is what happens, if that's tomorrow's trajectory, then we'll be very high, on a very high mountain.
Gently through.